San Diego.
Colleen, I'm an alcoholic. Okay. Can you guys hear me in the back? Okay. All right. Awesome. My sobriety date is July 12th, 2014. My nerves did not kick in until I got up here, so bear with me. I'm really grateful. I don't think I've ever used the word grateful as much in my life as I have when I got sober and, like, being in this program, and that's amazing to me because, you know, when I was drinking, I still had a lot to be grateful for, but I didn't have, I couldn't see it, and I am really grateful to be asked to be a 10-minute speaker because that tells me two things. One is I was noticed, and also that somebody has faith in me to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's incredible to me. Because when I was drinking, I didn't have faith in myself, and I felt like there was nobody else that really had faith in me. And I didn't have a higher power that I actually prayed to and had a relationship with until I got into this program. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that I was given in sobriety, is other than being sober, is understanding that I have a purpose in this world and understanding that there is a place for me. My entire life I felt like I was out of place, that I was unwanted, that I wasn't good enough, and that I was never, I couldn't get anything good to happen to me, that this was just the way that the cards were dealt, and this was just the life that I had to live. And I got sober, and I'm from South Carolina, and I got sober back on the East Coast, and I went to a treatment facility for 6 months, and then I decided to join the military. And then I came out here to San Diego, and like the good alcoholic I am, I didn't tell anybody that I was an alcoholic because I thought that I had this thing. And, you know, in my groups and my sponsor back on the East Coast, they would tell me, like, you know, first things, like, get a sponsor, go to meetings, like, establish yourself in AA out on the West Coast. And I definitely didn't do that. I think I went to one meeting, and I didn't get a sponsor, and I ended up relapsing. And I severely broke my ankle, and I thought that that would be enough to, it was enough to bring me back into the rooms, but it wasn't enough apparently to make me stay, because I didn't stay very long, even though I hobbled back on crutches and a boot on my foot, and I thought that I was defeated. I still had some chapters to add to my story, so I went back out, and at that time I went out for 2 weeks, and then I was assaulted from somebody on my ship. And at that point, that was when I finally decided that that I had to do this deal, that I couldn't live drinking, you know. And I remember living on base, and there was a 24-hour mini mart right across the street. And so I remember I would have to switch up the times that I would go because I didn't want the cashiers to figure it out that I kept coming at the same time every night, getting the same thing, like the 3-pack of like tall boys. You know, and then I would like hide all of the evidence in my cabinet away from my roommate because I didn't want her to know. And it was like a full-time job because I had to literally coordinate my drinking around my roommate's schedule and my work schedule. And, you know, she worked night shift, so it was perfect because by the time I got home, she was gone, so I could get completely plastered and she would never know. And then she switched to day shift and everything was fucked, you know. And it was awful. It really was. And then I remember, like, gripping this, like, traffic here in San Diego is insane. I just don't understand it. And especially around, like, 3 or 4 near the military bases, it's even worse. And I just remember, like, gripping the steering wheel and trying to make it back to base because I had to get loaded before my roommate got off of work and got home and found me. And, you know, it was just a double life that I lived, and it was this job that, you know, and, like, this weight that I carried, and, like, trying to be something that I didn't want to be, but I didn't know any other way to live. You know, I didn't know that I knew there was a solution, but I didn't think it would work for me. And I hear that a lot. And I remember telling my sponsor, like, I don't understand why I can't stay sober. And she's like, well, maybe you should try finishing the steps. I'm like, okay, good point. So I finished the steps, and I've been sober ever since. And, you know, the beauty of it is that, you know, I can actually wake up and know what I've done the night before, and I know where I am, and I don't have, like, this void inside of me anymore. Like, that was filled with a higher power that I found through this program. I'm not religious by any sense, and I am not, you know, the perfect, like, gold star student for AA. That's for sure. I still make mistakes, and, you know, I still fall flat on my ass. But, you know, the difference is that it's not even necessarily that I don't drink. I mean, that's the whole point. But it's like, when I fall on my ass, like, I know where to go. And I know that I have a solution. I know I have people that support me and people that actually care and want to be there for me and want to see me succeed. And that was something that I'd never had before. And it was totally foreign to me, that whole concept of, like, working with another and helping and, like, hearing the message and passing it along, you know. But it made sense to me. It was like, I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. And, you know, that we have a saying in the military, like, you don't get credit for doing your job. And that's kind of how I feel in AA. It's like people say, you know, like, oh, thank you. And, like, you did stuff that I don't get credit for doing my job. You know, like, this is what I was sent here to do. Like, this is my purpose. And I found that through being sober and being able to remove what was blocking me from my higher power, which I had no idea that it was blocking me, because I didn't even know a higher power existed, you know. And sometimes I think I have friends that that think that, you know, that they came from, like, we all came from bacteria and that we're just, like, germs and that there's no point in us being here. And I remember, like, having these conversations with these people, and I'm just like, okay, you know. And, you know, like I said, I'm not religious by any sense, but I can't help but to think how miserable of a life to live, to think that there's no point in us being here, that, you know, we're just here to, and no offense to anybody who thinks that way, but for me, personally, you know, it's just like, that's a miserable existence for me. You know, I felt that way before, and that shit sucks. Like, there's no fun in it. Then it's like, well, what's the point of me waking up in the morning, you know? And it's like, being able to come into AA and, like, get a whole group of women that actually cared. I remember, you know, AA on the East Coast, well, at least in South Carolina, is a lot different, believe it or not, than what it is out here. The relationship I had with my sponsor in South Carolina was strictly, like, business and AA. We only met to do the steps, and I called her to check in and blah, blah, blah. And out here, I remember when my sponsor called me and asked me if I wanted to go to the movies with her and to dinner. I'm like, is this a date, you know? Like, I didn't quite understand. I was like, why do you want to be my friend, you know? Like, why do you... Like, you actually want to hang out with me. Like, I thought you were, like, my boss, you know? Like, you tell me what to do and when to do it. And you know, today I have this relationship with my sponsor that, like, she is family to me, you know, and her family is family to me, and that's incredible. And I you know, I can't help but to be grateful for the fact that even though I'm out here and I have no blood family or relatives out here, like, I have a whole slew of family out here that I never even knew existed. You know, and that's true for anywhere that I go all over the world. I'll be deploying next year, and I remember hearing this really awesome story about this captain of a ship that went, every time they would deploy, they would, you know, hit the same port, and he would go, and every time that they would pull into port, this group of people would be waiting for him, like locals from the country, and they would take him, and then he would have stuff to do on liberty or their free time. And some of the sailors would ask him, like, sir, like, how do you know so many people all over the world? And they were people in AA. He had been there so many times, and they just, you know, and, like, that's incredible to me, and I absolutely adore it. And I love this program. I love what it's done. I love the fact that, you know, I can give back to others, and I'm still selfish and self-centered, and I still want to do what I want to do. Like, I didn't want to come to this meeting, and, like, I didn't want to actually dress up. Like, you know, I didn't want to do any of this shit. I'd rather just be, like, in my yoga pants, hanging out, doing nothing, you know? And, but I've also heard that, you know, service work, if it's not inconveniencing you, it's not service work, you know, and that's what I have to remember. And I also have to remember that, you know, you guys taught me that the only way for me to get any relief from this disease is if I do those steps and I read that book and I work with others. So I think I'll continue to do that.